I want to share this morning from James and the first chapter of James and beginning in the 19th verse. There are four sections to this chapter in my Bible, divided, first of all, salutation, and the second section is faith and humility. The third is trial and temptation, and this section we're reading is hearing and doing the Word of God. So I've entitled the message, Receive the Word of God with Meekness, and also we are to reduce it to daily practice or daily work in our lives. Reading from verse 19 of James chapter 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed or in his doing. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, we pray this morning that you will bless your word to us. Give us ears, we pray, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, to us individually, and help us to respond with an eternal yes, that your divine will and purposes shall be fulfilled. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're to receive the Word of God, we're to meditate on the Word of God, and we're to obey the Word of God. Three things that I wanted to point out in this passage this morning. Receive, meditate, and obey God's Word. Many Bible scholars believe that the book of James was the first New Testament book that was written. And James refers to the law of liberty. He refers to the royal law. He refers to the word of God that we are to receive and to meditate on and to obey. And as he was writing, he had in mind Jesus' words, for Jesus spoke from the Old Testament, many quotes from the Old Testament. One of the ones that we focus on here at Narcus Street is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we can say that when James was writing here and talking about the Word of God, he was referring to the words of Jesus, and Jesus was on the foundation, or as even part of the foundation of the Old Testament. I love the scripture that says Jesus said himself, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And that fulfillment, it does not mean that the law is done away with, the Old Testament is done away with, but the Old Testament to us as believers, New Testament believers, is like a foundation. And we remember the wonderful picture of Ezekiel's temple and all those jewels that were mentioned there to describe this beautiful foundation of the house of God. And so the Old Testament there is a foundation to us. And the Bible says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. This rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands. And Jesus, the Messiah, he's the chief cornerstone that holds the whole building together. And certainly when we build a building and we lay a good foundation, we don't live in the foundation, but also we don't live without the foundation. Because according to the parable of the builder who built the house upon the sand, it fell down. But the house that was built upon the rock was the house that stood. And so God has made and ordained that each one of us are members in this house of God with Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and that as he speaks to us the word of God that he is. And so it begins by saying in verse 19, wherefore, and that wherefore refers to verse 18, I believe. In verse 18 it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, James is writing, I want to go on and say this to you. Because you've been begotten of God, because your life is new in Christ, then, my beloved brethren, and that's always a wonderful expression to write and think that way about one another, my beloved brethren, my dear ones in Christ, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And so he says, first of all, that we are to be listening and swift to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us collectively as a church and also individually. And I praise God, as I'm sure that you do, that we belong to the body of Christ. We belong to one another. We really can't progress, develop, and grow unless we develop and grow spiritually together. For the Lord is a good shepherd, and he takes his flock along together. And so he says to us, be swift to hear. I was in the watch night service, New Year's Eve service at Christ Church, and our brother David Pelegi was preaching, and the theme of his sermon for that watch night and for the new year was this, that we are to be urgent about what God is saying to us, or take it urgently, what God is saying to us or has been saying to us in the year 2009, and put it into an active form of obedience in the year 2010. And that spoke to my heart, because he also said, don't get in a panic and don't fear and don't get anxious. But certainly if God is talking to us, we need to be quick to hear what he's saying. Swift, quick to hear what God is saying. And how do we hear? We hear by preaching. And I thank God for the privilege that it is to stand in any pulpit, and it's a special privilege for all of us who have the privilege of coming here to this pulpit in this city, because all of you are so powerful and wonderful and gracious and workers for the Lord and servants of God, that it's a real responsibility to make sure that Jesus is lifted up and the Word of God is proclaimed to us. We hear by preaching, and we hear also by daily reading the Bible. I know one of our members who has the Bible, maybe several of you have the Bible, where you read the Bible through in a year. Gives you passages in the Old, the New, and the Psalms to read. And how important it is for us now, especially in the day that we're living in, when wickedness is increasing and there's a lot of strange things out in the world, on the airwaves, on the televisions, a lot of things that are being said that are being said like it is the Word of God. How important it is for us to read and reread the Word of God and let it be hid in our hearts so that we will not sin against God. So first of all, to receive the Word of God, we have to be swift, quick to hear what God is saying. Open heart, open vessel. admitting to the Lord that we don't know everything and we haven't received everything. No matter how long we've been a believer, we still need to hear Him. Swift to hear, slow to speak. And I like to change change that just a bit by saying slow to speak evil, which means don't speak. Don't speak evil. Don't be one that speaks quickly and speaks evil. Proverbs says a truly wise person uses few words. Proverbs 10 says, don't talk too much, for it fosters sin. Be sensible and turn off the flow. And so we thank God that He's able to help us to be slow and careful in our speak, and also not to speak evil, especially in criticism. But we should be building one another up in the Lord. Also, it says we should be slow to wrath. Again, I'd like to say that means do not be wrathful. Do not be angry. Because it goes on in verse 20 to say, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And therefore, our anger, the way that we are angry, is never the way that God is angry. I could even say that God is not angry. But then people ask the question, and it's a mystery, what about the wrath of God? The Bible says a lot about the wrath of God. And everything out of God's circle of love and loving kindness, which is great and far extended outside of that is the wrath of God. And when I think of expressions like God being angry, I think of Jesus going into the temple and He turned over the tables. Remember that? And He had a whip in His hand. Now, if I visualize that in my mind, I visualize it the way that I would do it. And that would be my human reaction, that I don't like this and I want you to get out of here. And I would, in anger, turn those tables over. If God is never angry as you and I are angry because it's sin, then what helps me to visualize is the word grieved. Because it often says, in connection with Jesus' disturbance about the Pharisees or lack of faith, He says that He was grieved. And therefore, Jesus was grieved in the temple, and He did turn the tables over, and He was serious. But we are to be slow to wrath. Or let us pray that there is not anger in our lives. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Hallelujah. How do we do what we need to do for the Lord? It's only by His grace, by the Holy Spirit, and receiving the engrafted, life-giving Word of God. Now, I don't know how many of you have done farming or have had a garden, but there's always a battle to keep the weeds out of the farm, out of the garden, and keep the crop growing. And as you work your garden, you have to cultivate, you have to water, you have to look over the land. And so as we meditate and receive the Word of God, it's watering the garden and cultivating the garden, and then we know that the weeds that would like to choke the life of God stay out of our body, out of our garden. Also, and I'm not sure how accurate I am on this, and maybe you could help me, but orange trees or certain kind of citrus trees, they start out with a root or a stalk that has a tendency to be bitter. And they graft in a sweet branch, engrafted into that tree, and they let that branch draw from that root, and you have a sweet fruit. And God says that He will engraft His living word into our hearts as we receive it. And that will bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. So it's important for us, as we receive the Word of God, to live in repentance and turn to the Lord, because it's His grace, it's His Word that will help us in these days. we have this phrase also, all filthiness that is to be set aside. And Matthew Henry gave this description of that word filthiness, that vicious nature which is determined on doing harm to others. It is both a sensual and a hateful attitude. Those are the weeds, that filthiness, that worldly spirit that likes to somehow creep in on us. And God's receiving God's engrafted word and receiving His grace and the power of the Holy Spirit is able to keep our gardens cultivated and those weeds taken away from our hearts. And then we are to meditate on God's word. We're to meditate on the words of Jesus. We hear God's word, as I said, by reading, by sermons, and by assembling ourselves together. It's so important to be together with other believers. It's so important, for the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some are. There is something that strengthens us when we gather together here as a body of Christ and we sing together and we pray together, we pray for one another, we hear the word of God together, that cannot be accomplished when we are just by ourselves. God has ordained for the body of Christ to be together and to hear the word of God. The still small voice of the Lord is always speaking. And that's why it's important to meditate on God's word. Verse 21, I'll read 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In my house, in our home, those of you who have been there, we have a mirror just behind the dining room table. It's not a small mirror. It's about 8 feet long and about 4 feet high. You walk past the mirror and you see yourself. Now, when I walk past the mirror, I don't like to look very long in the mirror, because what I see is a man that's getting older month by month and a man that's getting heavier month by month. So I take a look in the mirror and I said, no, I don't want to look there. But the Bible says when we meditate on the Word of God, it's not just a casual glance. It's looking, it's reading, it's listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in His wonderful loving kindness way, is able to point out to us the need that we have in our natures. And we're all needy, maybe crippled in some way. And the Lord is always wanting to heal us. He's always wanting to change us. He's always wanting to make us more like Himself. And that comes by a continued meditating and praying over the Word of God and saying, Lord, I want You to speak to me from this phrase. So let us make it our desire in this coming year to meditate upon ourselves. We don't want to deceive ourselves, as it says here in this passage. And one thought about deceiving ourselves is to be led astray by false reasoning. What we think about ourselves often is better than we really are. We are blind to we have blind spots. I have blind spots to certain needs in my life. And God's word and His graciousness is able to point that out to us as I meditate upon His word. And then we won't be living in some kind of a deception that says everything's okay. I was saved 50 years ago. There's no need for change. There's no need for growth or development. That's deceiving ourselves. But as we meditate on the Word of God, our hearts get very hungry and thirsty for more of Him, and we pray that we might know Him in all of His fullness. And I believe that one of the wonderful things of heaven is that we will continually be learning about God. We'll never come to the end of that eternity that God is and say that we, even there, that we know it all. But we will be growing, even there in heaven, in the knowledge of the Lord. It says here that it's a perfect law. It's a complete law, completed in Jesus. It's complete for everything that we need, this Word of God, New Testament and Old Testament, the words of Jesus. It's complete for all that we need. And he also uses the word royal. And royal is a word that's used for a king. And we know that Jesus is our king. If you look in chapter 2 and verse 8, we read, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture," and that royal law is what? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill or become angry," I'll add that in there, "if you become angry, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." And so this is the royal law. And this is the way that we can keep the whole law, by loving God with all our hearts and all our souls and all our mind, and loving our neighbor as ourself. Praying in our hearts for everyone who is near to us, that God's blessing will be upon them. God will anoint them and God will come to them. And especially, it's a way of overcoming angry. When you become angry with someone and you begin to pray for them, you might say, as I have said, "Well, I don't feel like praying because I'm upset. Sula's upset me. I'm upset. I'm right. She's wrong." 90% of this time, she's right and I'm wrong. But when I'm upset, and I can pray, "Lord, you bless Sula. You bless my brother. You come to them." It's the royal law of loving God, obeying God, hearing what God says, doing the essence of what the law is. This is the essence of the law, loving God with all our hearts and our neighbor as ourselves. And then we are in this perfect law, or the law of liberty, which Jesus has given to us. So we want to be built on that foundation of the royal law. And then thirdly, we are to fully obey his word. It says in verse 26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth," again the word deceive, "but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." And when someone is hiking or out in the woods on a hike, and there's an area of a cliff, the longer you walk a path that's near the cliff, the more the chance is that you would fall over the cliff. But if you get away from the cliff and get on the path that goes into the forest or where you're going, you are in less danger, much less danger of falling over the cliff. And so I say that as an illustration, that it's not the desire of us as a Christian to see how close that we can get to the world and still be a Christian. But our desire, as we receive the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and obey the Word of God, is to see how close we can come to Jesus and have his fullness operating and moving and stirring in our life. So true religion is to control our tongues, it says. And then in James chapter 3, we have those words as well. We are to, and that's on the inside, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So on the inside, first of all, is this life of blessing others, and then the mouth will be checked in criticizing and bitter words. On the outside, we are to visit the fatherless and the widows. We are to do those acts of loving kindness that all believers are called to do. There is vain religion these days in the world, but it should not discourage us, because there is true religion among God's saints. One Bible commentator said, the hearer only of the Word of God is on the road to final destruction. That's Matthew Henry I'm quoting from. He also said, the Bible not only reveals the holy God to man, it also discovers sinful man to himself. And then he said, Matthew Henry quoting again, knowledge without obedience only increases condemnation. And so the Lord is calling us in this year that we're going in. I believe the Lord is speaking, I know, to me, and I believe to all of you as well, that we are to be urgent about what the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to us. That still small voice through the past year maybe has been showing us something that He wants us to do, that we might draw closer to Him and be farther away and not be have the spots of the world, as it says here. Let us be quick to hear. Let us be ready to obey what the Lord has said in these last days. So the message of James to us this morning is, receive the engrafted Word of God, meditate daily upon His Word, look and let that mirror reflect the image, not so that you can feel condemned or feel heavy or say, why am I still this way? But God always shows us ourselves. He always shows us our need, because He wants to set us free. And all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, this word is true about me. I repent. There's nothing I can do. I repent. I ask you to cleanse me. And I ask you to enable me by the power of the Holy Spirit to so walk that Jesus might be seen and heard in my life. And He will do that for us. And then we will be living in that obedience that He has given to us. So let's remember the royal law. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And thereby you will be fulfilling the law of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Thank you for His sacrifice, that Jesus, you have been and are the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. We thank you, Lord, that you are calling us in these days, and always are calling us to a closer walk with you. And we respond this morning in our hearts, saying, yes, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to receive with an open heart, with no preconceived ideas. I want to receive the engrafted living word fully, more fully into my heart and life this year. And Lord, help me and help us to meditate daily on the Word of God, to give time. We ask that you will enrich and deepen our devotional hour with you. Help us, Lord, we pray, as we meditate, and what you show us, help us to turn away from that's not of you, and then help us to obey the Word of God. And we thank you that you're doing that. Thank you for this wonderful grace of our Lord and Savior. Pray that you bless us each one and strengthen your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
All the competing things that we have for the Word of God, one of them is those familiar six beeps. Do any of you know what the six beeps are? Just before the hour, you're that's when my attention turns to the news, and it's on the radio. And another thing I found in the morning, unless I do a little exercise, a little weights or something, my mind is too groggy to absorb the scripture. And so I have to do something to wake up, splash some water in my face, and because of the competing attention for the Word of God, it has to be fresh and has to be living. So often I find myself reading the scripture if it's too familiar, or a passage or one of the historical genealogies or something like that, I'll find myself reading half a verse and I find that I didn't get anything from it, and I have to repeat, or I'll hum a tune or pace the floor or do something to change position because of the vulnerability of the flesh. So those are things that I do to try to keep my mind fresh in His Word, because it's all important. And I like that program that's also available to read the Scripture through a year at a time.